was a Packer War, born October 21st, 1912. My parents were Samuel Sherburne War and Francis Charity War Packer. I was born in the state of Idaho, Jim County, Idaho Falls. I was born in a small house 2 years after my eldest brother. That house was located very near the Snake River at a location that later on became quite famous because of its proximity to the very spot where the Ringling Brothers circus elephants decided to go swimming. There was a dam at the Snake River at that point that the county had installed to back up the water to serve the farmers for irrigation to raise those wonderful Idaho potatoes. And at that dam, the water level from the top of the dam dropped down some 15 feet in the sides of the river bank were quite sharp. Well, it seems these elephants had been on the circus train for several days, and although they had been given some water, they were very thirsty, and they of course loved water anyway. And when the train finally stopped and they began to offload the elephants, they smelled the water in the Snake River, and they stampeded about a mile and went down into the river below the dam. And although they went down at a spot where they were able to slide down the bank and get into the water, they found eventually had an extreme amount of difficulty in getting those elephants out. So much for the general area where I was born. I lived in Idaho Falls the first 8 years of my life, and my parents were, except for my father, were staunch churchgoers, being members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or Mormon. And at the time I became 8 years old, I saw no reason why I shouldn't become a member of the church. I had been going to Sunday school and was exposed to the church. It was a way of life, and it was accepted. They asked me if I believed Joseph Smith was a true prophet, and I'd really not ever considered that he wasn't. So I said, well, yes. So my grandfather, Walter Packer, baptized me in the Tabernacle Fount in Idaho Falls, and that was quite a time, a moment in my life. I remember a very happy early childhood, a large family. Ultimately, it became a family of 11 children. See, seven boys, five girls, four girls, seven boys and four girls, that's right. And order of appearance of the family was, of course, Don, the eldest, then myself, then Sherb, then Betty. The first girl came after three boys. Then seemed like maybe going to be girls from there on, but it wasn't, of course. But the twins were born following Betty, and it was a great day. We were very happy, of course, to Betty, but even happier to see the twins, because everybody was anticipating having somebody around, having difficulty telling them apart. Well, at first they were very cute and very much alike, but then as they got older, and it soon became apparent that they weren't going to even be called twins, maybe, because Mabel was fair and May was a brunette and slender. Then Bill, William Abraham, I should say, and then Sam. Say Sam, I mean Sam Jr. Then it was came Max, Wilfred Max, and Peggy, Marguerite, Peggy, and then the baby, Richard, Rick as he's called now. And this last crop I really enjoyed. They were so lovely and so happy, and I just enjoyed them. I could hardly wait to get home and the evening to play with the baby. I really did like that. That was real living. And why not? A lot of fun. Well, of course, went to school then in Idaho Falls. Went to Eagle Rock School. Now, this was quite a ways from home. A lot of temptations along the way, and a lot of adventures and things happening, and I guess if anybody's going to relate their personal history, they should be very candid and relate what happened on my first brush with dishonesty and how I dealt with the opportunity that presented itself to be dishonest and engage in a life of crime. And as I look back on this incident, I have to realize that it was of value to me, because what happened, a boyfriend, a friend that I walked home with a good deal of the time, got an idea that we could help ourselves to some apples in the grocery store that was along the way. And I've often wondered what happened to this fellow, because as I look back and remember the incident, he had a devious mind, and one that was calculated to work things out pretty well. But at any rate, his plan was that I was to go in the store. Back in those days, the grocery stores or in the small markets, they fruits usually were placed in the window to entice people to come in and see them. In other words, walking along the street, you could glance in the window and see the nice fruits that they had to offer the public. And so you went in the store, and then if you turned and looked out the window, the fruits would be right before you. And there were some great, big, beautiful, delicious apples in a box there. And it was his idea that if I would go in there and stand facing the street, right behind the box, within easy reach of it, he would stand alongside of me and look the other way or into the store and put his foot on top of my foot. Pretty devious, huh? When there was nobody looking, he would raise his foot up, and that would be my signal to take two apples and put them in my pocket and move out of the store. Well, everything went just as planned, and it was an adventure as far as I was concerned. I, somewhere in the back of my mind, I had a notion that this wasn't right, that it shouldn't happen, but the way he presented it, I think he must have become a con man eventually, because as I look back now and remember my frame of mind, I seem to think that this was all pretty good. And that's what happens when you get leaders who can involve you in things like that, with, and you still retain a certain peace of mind, seems to be all right because he said so. Well, anyway, everything went great. He picked his foot up, and I got the signal, and I took two apples, put one in each pocket, and moved slowly over the door, because he had told me, when I get the apples, don't run. Just walk over carefully and go out the door and walk down the street, and he would be with me in just a few minutes. Well, I got the apples. They got in my pockets. I sauntered over to the door, and as I opened the door, I heard my friend, quote, my friend, yell out, "Hey, mister, this kid took two of your apples." That shocked me for just an instant, and it must have been a very brief instant. I couldn't move. And then the whole thing came home to me in a burst of mental lightning, and I took off down the street running like fury, and those big apples in my pockets flapping like a pair of wings on a ruptured duck. And I kept going and going until I got about two blocks away, and then I looked back, and here the man of the store with his apron on, and my friend and a group of other people were standing there, and he was waving at me to come back and yelling at me, and this frightened the daylight out of me, and I just kept right on going. And I ran and ran till I couldn't run anymore. And then I stopped and walked along. And by the way, I had a couple of bruises on my legs where those apples had whipped in my pockets and my loose overalls, and just kind of left me with a couple of bruises. But they didn't have any comparison to the bruises I got from my dad. Now, how fathers find out about things like this, I'll never know. But he did. He got the full story, and I got the full pressure of his, of course, plan for me not to do any more of that kind of activity.